Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, we are talking about how error invades the church and how to identify and defeat false teachers. And we get that from Galatians chapter 2. We are looking particularly at verses 4 and 5. But really, the entire book of Galatians is addressed to that subject because error had invaded the Galatian churches, and Paul is writing this epistle to combat that false teaching. But he says this in verse 4, and this occurred, that is, the pressure to have Titus circumcised, this occurred because the false brethren secretly brought in, who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we did not yield submission even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. So, false teachers. And in these two short verses, we learn something about what these people are like in their professed Christianity and their apparent spiritual concern, but what their true motives are, which are to use religion, use Christianity, and use the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ to gain something for themselves, rather than to glorify God and to advance the cause of Christ. Another question would be, how successful can they be, these false teachers who infiltrate the church in great numbers, we might add? How successful can they be? And the answer to that is, they can be incredibly successful. They're not always, but far too often they do turn out to be very successful in their evil endeavors. And these false teachers had been pretty successful up until the time that Paul wrote this epistle, and the evidence is that God used Paul's leadership and his epistle to turn this error aside. But if somebody hadn't gotten on top of this thing real quick, then these false teachers would no doubt have infiltrated all of these Galatian churches, the four that we know about, and maybe others that we don't know about. And no doubt that heresy would have spread much farther as well. And so they are sometimes incredibly successful. They can very easily deceive the unconverted with a counterfeit way of salvation and counterfeit forms of Christianity. But the sad fact of the matter is, they can also temporarily at least deceive believers and create an awful lot of mischief. They can wreak an awful lot of havoc in the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there are always true believers who are weak, who respond more to matters emotionally than doctrinally. They are more drawn and convinced by personality than they are by truth. They tend to follow their heart rather than their head, which is not a very wise thing to do, I'm telling you, in spite of the fact that we are continually encouraged to do that. But that is not so. Christians don't have reliable hearts. Even of Christians, it must be said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And that's why we must have something outside of ourselves, something that is objective rather than subjective, if we are not going to be deceived by error. And so we've got to be led by truth, not by personality, not by emotions. But as we will see later in chapter 2, sometimes false teachers can even deceive or at least wrongly influence those who are strong. We'll get to that in verses 11 through 13 when these false teachers actually had a a bad impact upon Peter and Barnabas and nearly all the other Christians who, out of fear, who, because they were concerned about their reputation and the loss of position and loss of opportunity, were pressured to go along with these false teachers. And only the Apostle Paul, withstanding them publicly and openly at that time, and now withstanding them by means of this epistle at this time when Galatians is being written, were they turned aside. And that's why it's so important that we have Christians today who are alert and who are courageous and who are able and willing to stand up to false teachers. Because if we don't have people like that, then false teachers will be successful and they will deceive many and they will drag the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ down to shameful condition. When believers are seduced by false doctrine or practice, if they are not corrected and recovered, then the substandard becomes the new standard of Christianity by which others are now evaluated. And the result is that biblical Christianity is subverted. And sincere believers become very confused. And the bottom line of all of this is truth matters. Truth matters a great deal. Doctrine matters a great deal. You've got to know what's right, what's wrong, what's true, what's false. And the only way you're going to know that is by knowing your Bible and being able to apply the Word of God to every situation, even to those who claim to be messengers of God. They may be, they may not be. Or they may be people who are truly born again and sincere, but they have themselves been deceived, and now they're passing on to others what has deceived them. And though you hate to oppose them in this, you've got to, for the sake of truth and for the cause of Christ and for your love of the brethren, so that others will not be deceived. It can have a real domino effect. So how are these people defeated? Well, they are defeated by truth, as we've been trying to point out. In Galatians 2:5, Paul says, "To whom we did not yield submission even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you." Paul was fighting the Galatian false teachers by the truth. And that's the only way to do it. Now notice verse 14. "But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all." And he goes on, and we'll get to that passage later. But Paul was basing his stand upon truth, vigorously defending the truth of the gospel. And on this occasion, referred to in Galatians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul was virtually standing alone. He was for a while. Eventually, the truth convinced others who were truly God's people, and they acknowledged their error, and they came to stand with Paul. But Paul was virtually standing alone for a while when everybody else was being swept away by the deception. Thank God that he was there. Thank God that there was somebody who was willing to stand for the truth, even if he must stand alone. But how many times do we have occasions when nobody's willing to stand for the truth? How many of God's people are always looking around, looking over their shoulder, looking at others? "I'll take a stand if you will, but I sure won't stand alone." What kind of commitment to truth is that? What kind of commitment to Christ is that? What kind of commitment to things eternal is that? Are we so concerned about what others think of us that we're not willing or able to stand for truth alone if necessary? Of course we'd rather that it not be necessary to stand alone. But when it is necessary to stand alone, are you willing to do it? False teachers have to be defeated by truth. And how are they defeated? Number two, they are exposed by controversy. That's what happened again in Galatians chapter 2 when Paul contended with Peter and Barnabas in front of everybody else. Now that's very uncomfortable and something we would certainly want to avoid if at all possible, but sometimes it's not possible, dear friends. There's an interesting verse in 1 Corinthians 11:19 that is often overlooked. But Paul says, and this is the New King James wording, "For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you." There must be factions. There must be, I think the Old King James says heresies, but the idea is there must be divisions, there must be controversies. There sometimes have to be these times of controversy and division and contention in the church to sort things out, so that those who are genuine followers of the truth can be identified and separated from those who are simply going with the flow. And controversy is not always turned around, or should I say false teaching is not always turned around or recovered at the first exposure to truth. Sometimes it takes a while. But true believers will eventually line up with the truth, and counterfeit believers, professing believers, will usually be swept along with the error. It's unfortunate when divisions like this take place, when controversies arise, and sides have to be drawn, and people are forced to choose sides. Do you go with this group or with that group? Do you follow this proclamation or that proclamation? Do you line up with this position or with that position? We would dearly love that such things would never occur, and yet the Bible says that they are necessary from time to time. Because it takes that to purify the church. It takes that to expose counterfeit believers, false professors, people who have no ability to discern the truth, no willingness to stand for truth. It's pretty easy to just bury yourself, as it were, under the covers and be swept along unobserved, uncontested, unsuspected, as long as everything's going well. But controversy arises, and we find out who really believes the truth, who really is willing to stand for truth. Those people are revealed in the day of controversy. That's what the Bible teaches us. So how are false teachers defeated? Number one, they're defeated by truth. Number two, they are exposed by controversy. And what is it that controversy accomplishes? Well, it forces us to examine the truth that we have been taught, because it's now no longer theoretical, and it's now no longer somebody's opinion. It's now no longer simply a matter of interpretation. Now it's a matter of choose. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Choose you this day what you believe. Choose you this day and declare what position between this one and that one you are going to take. And so it forces us to apply truth to a current situation. Not theoretically what happened in Bible days, not theoretically or historically what happened in church history, but right now. In this situation, we're forced to choose sides, and that reveals our level of commitment to the Word of God. Be sober, be vigilant, be on your guard, be ready to stand for truth. Until tomorrow at the same time, this is Greg Barkman, Bible teacher on the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201, saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.